Welcome to You Influence Podcast, where you will hear everything you need to learn how to be a man or woman of influence for the better in your personal and professional life, in business, at work, and in your social life. Becoming a person of positive influence has an invaluable effect in ways we cannot imagine, but can only be felt in personal fulfillment. Hey, influencers, welcome back to Mavi Said Monday on the You Influence Podcast, where every Monday you get an episode of just me talking to you, sharing some tips, strategies, and some biz whiz. That stands for business wisdom. And you get a second episode that same week of me interviewing a guest. So thank you all for subscribing, listening. Of course, rate it and review it, please, by leaving us 5 stars to help us rank higher on the charts. So today's episode is about self-branding, the importance of it, and who should be hearing this message. This will probably be one of the most important episodes I've recorded to this date. So all I ask is when you're done listening to this episode, and if you know someone who needs to hear it, please share it on whichever platform you're listening to it. There is a reason why I need you to do that. And you will find out as soon as I start breaking down the importance of self-branding. Pay close attention, please. Whether you're a business owner with employees or a startup business owner or an employee working for a company or simply an independent contractor or slash freelancer, you must create a personal brand. I'm not talking about the type of brand where if you have a company that services clients and you already have a digital footprint for your business and now you need to switch over and brand your business through your personal social media pages. I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm referring to having a digital footprint as you, the individual, establishing a personal presence on and offline. But for the sake of keeping it simple, I will talk about online only because it is easier to do it online these days. I mentioned it before, even if you're an employee that is working for a company, you must have a strong digital presence as a professional that you are to build your personal brand. If you have absolutely zero desire to have your own business for whatever reason, but you love what you do and you know you're great at it, you need to do that. If you're always investing in yourself personally and professionally, and want to grow your career, you still need to build a personal brand. So maybe you're asking why. If you are taken care of by an employer, let's say, who provides a steady check without you having to find new clients, if they provide all those tools, training, and security, you still must have your own brand. Oh, and by the way, a little side note here. You have as much security in your income as much as you have the authority to sign your own check. So there is no security as long as someone else is writing you the check. And I know some people are completely okay with that, which is totally fine, right? But they will continue to change jobs, which is absolute norm, especially in today's economy. And here's why. Here's why you need to build your own brand, your personal brand, your LinkedIn page, your Facebook, your Instagram, or whatever else you use serves as the resume for your future employer and or even clients. As an employer, I would much rather hire someone based on what I see they have done professionally via stories, like videos we're talking about, affiliations, pictures, and videos than looking at some text on paper. I'm going to give you the golden nugget here and the key that turns the ignition to self-branding if you are an employee in a corporation. That key is called the mindset of independence. You need to build your career as if you get paid for results, as if there is no check for you at the end of the week or at the end of 2 weeks. As if you need to start generating leads from your online activity. You have to start looking at your position, your role, your activity as a business operating under another business. That means you're taking full responsibility for your current productivity and the future productivity. That also means when you're looking for a job, you are the one selecting an employer based on the common values, opportunity, culture, and compensation, not the other way around. All of this means one thing, control. It's as simple as that, control. You cannot control who signs your check or when it's signed. But what you can control is how the marketplace perceives you and the footprint that you leave in the space of marketing. Your personal brand is how people see you when you're not looking. It is what they say about you when you're not around. So let me give you a couple of examples so you can put this into perspective. Let's say you are an HR specialist working for a company. You have a steady paycheck, security, and a peace of mind, at least for the time being. You barely have an active LinkedIn profile, no professional photo on there. The only time, generally speaking, people start updating their LinkedIn profile is when it's time to start looking for a new job. What a horrible practice, if you ask me. Your Facebook is a private page, so is your Instagram. The only thing you post on there are your pictures from parties, boys' night out, you know, pictures of kids, and a lot of them, by the way. I see people posting pictures, a lot of pictures of their kids, which is fine, right? But again, it depends what your goal is with that social media presence. And, you know, you got family vacations, you got all of this stuff. Now, I'm not saying there is anything wrong with that, but what I'm saying is you should have either mixed content or start a Facebook business page as your personal name for personal branding. Start sharing value-based posts around what you know best. So if you're an HR specialist, post HR-related stuff. Best practices for effective hiring or onboarding. You know, top 7 mistakes managers make when training new employees. Top 3 violations company owners make without even knowing. Just basic and quick tips. Let's say you're an accountant. You take the same steps. Apply what you already know and share your expertise. The reason why most people don't do this is because they think, well, why should I do that? I don't get paid for it. I'm already taken care of by my company. Again, this goes back to having the right mindset, a mindset of independence, because a mentality of entitlement eventually will only disappoint you. It's a given. You cannot change. It's just a fact of life. So let's say you're not in a corporate environment, but let's say you are a hairdresser that works for someone who owns that salon. Start branding yourself. Provide value. Share tips on hairstyles, on hair color, etc., etc. You get the point. Start collecting client testimonials of your own clients and customers and share those on the social media pages that you own. That's your brand. Eventually, you will start generating leads of people that want to book an appointment with you to get their hair done. Now, you're in a position to either ask for a raise or negotiate an entirely different compensation plan for all of your work. Your employer will be happy, if they're smart, because now their overhead goes down due to reduction of marketing expense since you're helping with lead generation. Yes, you're doing it on your own, but you're also helping the company that you're with. Now let's look at all these situations from an employer's perspective. Let's say I'm interviewing someone who is a culture expert to hire them for my organization. And he has great online presence. I've looked through the social media presence and all that stuff, right? Tons of value across all social media platforms, including LinkedIn. Why would I like this? Or why should I care if he or she has a personal brand? Should I be worried that this person is too independent? If I'm a smart employer, I will hire that individual as fast as possible as long as they're a great fit on our team. Why? Because now, thanks to their already built personal brand, we as a company, we can start attracting new talent that will want to work on our team simply because they were attracted to that individual's personal brand. Maybe they were affiliated, maybe they were connected with them on whatever platform they saw them on. That individual is now working with me, so therefore everyone they attract becomes attracted to the entire organization. Same goes for accounting, hairdressing, analysts, engineers, the list goes on and on and on. So let me share with you a true story about what happened with people that used to work for us in my old company. It's been almost 3 years since my partners and I went our separate ways. I know that when I left the organization, about roughly 30 to 50% of the existing staff has left right away and started looking for a new job. That's just because they didn't want to be working with a toxic environment, in a toxic environment, I should say, which is what my other two partners have created after I left. It just happened that way. It wasn't planned to be that way, but it happened that way. And 11 months later, they closed the business altogether. After I left, a large percentage of all our licensed specialists ended up opening up their own business. They went on from being an employee to being a business owner. So now they're responsible for paying their own rent, right, in a new location, generating new customers through proper marketing and customer service, of course. Where did they learn all of that? They learned all of those things while working for me, for my partners and I. Now, that's not an ego boost whatsoever, trust me, because I know what I'm talking about. I'm sharing this because I have always treated and will continue to treat those that work with me like future entrepreneurs. I treat them like intrapreneurs. I treat them and train them as if they are their own small business operating under the umbrella of a bigger business. I condition them for an independence mentality. Most employers thought and still do to this day, they think that I'm nuts for doing that because they fear, well, if you train them, then they will leave and start their own company. First of all, if that is their goal, if that is the employee's goal, then I will be happy to see them win because I always operate from an abundance mentality, not from a scarcity mentality. And they won't ever have to admit that, but we will all know where they got their training from. So I'm completely okay with people wanting to create their own autonomy and go on their own. Here's the reality. Most people won't. At the end of 2018, I actually reached out to a handful of those people that started their own business after working with me and asked, would they have gone out on their own if they would still be employed at their old place with me being in charge? All of them, I'm not even kidding, all of the people that I spoke with, and I promise you, all those people said no. Here's what they said, I'm paraphrasing here. The training you provided us was enough for us to be independent while being under the umbrella of the company. Paying rent, spending money on marketing, and finding the right assistance is not easy. Here's what I need to tell you guys. I love a quote by Sir Richard Branson. He said, train your people so they can leave you, but treat them well enough so they don't have to. So that is all for people that work for a company. All of that content that I just shared with you. If you're working for an employer, please be mindful of your personal brand as long as you're passionate and you love what you're doing. If you don't, then forget about it. This podcast is not even for you. Very simple. I'm being very honest with you. But if you love what you do, you know you're making a difference. You know, don't be complacent of thinking, well, they're taking care of me. They're providing me with my daily tasks. I'm getting a check and that's it. You need to drop that thought process and develop the attitude of independence. Guys, please do this for your sake. Okay? Build your personal brand, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. And if you need help doing it or have questions, just shoot me an email. Well, send an email to my assistant at admin@unpluggedinfluence.com or DM me on Instagram. That's the fastest way to get a hold of me personally. Okay? So if you send an email, my assistant will get it. If you DM me directly, I will respond to you. So that was all for everyone that has an employer. So let's address now all the entrepreneurs, independent contractors, business owners, decision makers. You already know something about human behavior. Otherwise, you wouldn't be running a successful business. Or at least, I hope you do. Because if you don't, you are probably new to the business world and don't expect to succeed unless you understand how and why people buy. So I'm going to go ahead and pretend that all of you listening to this have somewhat of an understanding of human behavior. Let's say hypothetically you have a business page on Facebook with your company logo, banner, and the whole thing, right? You dressed it up. Everything looks great. You run an ad campaign targeting the audience you need to target. In your campaign is either a video or an image, right? So hypothetically, just picture that. And the content inside a video or image is all stock images or stock video relevant to your business or what you do specifically. No actual images of people that work inside of the company, no images of the leadership or management in that organization, no images of real clients. It's all generic information with a bunch of props and models. Now, you run the same ad campaign to the same target audience, but instead of having props and models with stock images, you have actual employees of the company or real customers and a message from the CEO. Which ad campaign do you think will perform better? The answer is obvious. The second one. Why? Because it's real. Because it's human. Because it's relatable. So let's say you are the owner of a CPA firm of about 100 employees working with you. You're already marketing and advertising for new business. Now you're running a marketing campaign on billboards, bus signs, Facebook, and Instagram. You're covering offline and online exposure. Me personally, let's say I see your ad for your company name, and let's say the name of the company is CPA Experts, and your tagline is more money in your hands. Personally, I won't even look twice at that ad. For the same reason why you don't just pick a restaurant to take your date to, just because the awning looked shiny. People don't do that, at least not anymore. You pick a restaurant based on someone else's recommendation that you know of, or at least reviews that you read from real people online. Same concept is here. You advertise your business as CPA Experts, you know, more money in your hands, but if I see an ad with the founder or one of the CPA partners that has a message, now you're increasing the chances of converting that same set of eyeballs because there is a higher chance of relatability. People will always respond better to information if there's another human being on the other side of advertising. Let me give you a quick example from my personal experience. I'm a big proponent of dietary supplements simply because I know my body. I know how it responds to certain foods, to lack of certain foods, and how I operate with and without dietary supplements. So I do a lot of research on it before I buy anything in regards to quality. Now, I listen to a lot of business podcasts. One of the podcasts that I listen to happens to be hosted by a founder and CEO of a $300 million a year supplement company. He never talks about his company on a podcast, nor does he promote it. But based on his values, based on how he treats his team and the culture they have in the organization, I looked into the product by researching it on Google first because I couldn't really understand the name of the company. So I tried different variations and I looked it up on Google. I found it and I ended up being their customer. Here's what I found though, that I could have bought similar products from a different company for slightly less. Yes, the way it's made is a bit different. The ingredients are a little bit different, but the deciding factors for me was the CEO. I never met the guy, never met him in person, never spoke with him. He never sold me his products on a podcast, but I resonated with his message throughout several episodes of the podcast. It's that relatability factor that I'm talking about. I'm doing business today with a technology company that I agreed to pay a large chunk of the percentage from my own company's gross revenue, mainly because I found a lot in common in regards to values with the founder of the company. Yes, they service a lot of different brands, big brands, individuals, influencers that we all heard of and know of, even buy from, okay? But the expense was pretty high for me individually, right? For being this early in the stages of developing a business. But I did it anyway. Why? Because I knew that I'm aligning myself with the right entity based on the right leadership. The leadership I'm talking about is the owner of that company. They have close to 80 employees working there, but some of their biggest clients do business with them due to the founder's image, presence, and values. And if you're that owner of the CPA firm I used earlier in my example, I would have my other tax professionals participate in the branding for the same reason I spoke about in the first portion of this episode when I was addressing employees of a company. The more personal brands that are individuals you have in the marketplace, in front of the eyeballs, the better it is for the big picture, and that is the business. Do not live in a scarcity mentality where you're afraid of losing people because now they're branding themselves. That you're allowing to brand themselves, you're helping them brand themselves under the umbrella of the entity. Keep that in mind. So let me leave you with a few tactical tips on how to do it the right way in the digital space with your social media profiles. Number one, have a professional LinkedIn profile, have a clear description in your short bio right on top of who you are, maybe 2-3 sentence blurb about your experience, and don't forget why you do what you do. Because people will always, always respect your craft, your business, your product, your service, once they find out the reason why you do what you do. We as humans, we buy into that first. Okay? Reason. What drives you? Not what and how you sell, but why you do what you do. Okay? Second tip. Your Instagram, your personal Instagram account, as a decision maker, as a professional, your Instagram shouldn't be a private account if you intend on growing your reach. If you want to stay small and private, you don't want to go in that direction, that's different. But if you anticipate on growing your reach, if you anticipate on getting more clients into your business, into your organization, with the assistance of your personal brand, you cannot keep that account private. It's not a good idea. You look at biggest brands. Again, going back to Sir Richard Branson, you go to Damon John from Shark Tank or any of the Shark Tank participants, none of their accounts are private. They're a personal brand, don't forget. But they have huge businesses that they run and operate. Okay? Two different things, but the idea is the same. They're building the personal brand to grow their business, and their personal brands are not on their private account. Why? Because the intention is growth. If it's not, then stay private, stay small. That's okay. It's not for everybody. All right? I'm just being very honest with you here. Your posts, by the way, the main picture in your social media, don't have it with a shot of Patron or a bottle of beer. Unless that's your brand, unless you're in that industry, that's fine, okay? But if you're not, keep it clean, keep it professional or semi-professional. It could be a family picture, that's fine too. It's okay. Whatever it is that you feel your brand is, your image, your core values, then you go with that, okay? Your posts don't have to be all business related. Mix it up with family pictures if you want. You know, your family outings or corporate outings, vacations maybe. Some inspirational quotes or memes, information about your industry or services. Just keep it clean and relatable. That's it. Your goal is not to relate to everyone. Keep that in mind. Your goal is to stay true to your personal brand, beliefs, and vision. Third one, that same goes for Facebook, Twitter, and other platforms. Wherever you are, just keep that formula in mind. Guys, I really hope you found this episode valuable and applicable. Share it with everyone you believe needs to hear this. And let's create more personal brands together to establish more genuine trust among each other and build a community of like-minded individuals who believe in their craft and are proud to do what they do. Guys, thanks for listening to another Mavi Said Monday episode. And remember, you are an influence. Just choose to be the right kind. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast already, please show us your support by subscribing and leaving a positive review to help us advance on the chart. You can always connect with me on social media by searching for Rafael Mavi at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. If you have any questions or just want to drop a line, the fastest way to get a hold of me is through my Instagram. Until next time.